Hello there! Welcome on the podcast Fait Main. It means handmade in French. I'm Mélanie and I created this podcast a year ago to meet virtually creative entrepreneurs. I interviewed so far women who sew, paint, draw or do embroidery. I've been crafting myself for many years now, and as I love hearing podcasts, I decided to create my own one and discover the creative journey my guests are taking and enjoying. For this special episode, I'm with Cécile Metzger, also known as Coucou Illustration, a French freelance illustrator. Cécile does this for a living for 3 years now, and she's only 25. She now lives in Florence, in Italy, and she mainly paints for children's literature. She has this unique style with really soft colors and sweet feelings. With Cécile, we spoke about her work, creativity, inspiration, and Instagram. We also record an episode in French with other questions, so if you understand French, I'm sure it will interest you. Have a good listening!
Hello, Cécile. I'm really glad you accepted my invitation to talk with me today for the podcast FEMA.
Hi, I'm also very happy to be part of the podcast and to be able to make an English version as well. It's really nice.
So it's a kind of a challenge for us to speak in English. So
yes.
As we are both French, but as your community is mostly English speaking, we thought it would be a good idea, or at least a fun one, to speak English together for this recording.
Yes, a very good challenge. So everyone, hello to everyone who is listening to us. Please be understanding to us if we speak very poorly, because we're not used to this, but we're doing our best.
Yeah, exactly. In the podcast Femin, I meet in conversation at distance French artists. So you are an illustrator. I interviewed so far other illustrators or painters, watercolor painters, for example, people who are doing embroidery or sewing. So today we are going to speak mostly painting, so watercolor for your case, and illustration. So maybe to start with this conversation, Cécile, we can speak about your background. So how did you come to the illustration part?
So I didn't study illustration. When I was studying at the university, I was studying literature. Because after high school, when I had to pick a subject, I was thinking of going to art school, but then I got pretty scared that maybe it would be a hard path, it would be difficult to find work after that, and so I chose the safe way, and I studied something that I thought could help me more in finding a job. But then after a few years, I got my license degree. But then when I started my master's, I realized that it was not really fulfilling anymore. So I decided to stop. And I was very lucky to have a chance to work in an art library, if I can say. It's a place, a kind of art gallery, but where you can borrow the paintings, the pieces of art, as if they were books in libraries. And there were also art classes for children. So it was a very nice atmosphere, very creative. And it really pushed me to give illustration a try. And the woman with whom I was working there, she was called Pascal, and she really encouraged me. And she was giving me a lot of very good advices, because she was an art teacher and she also is an artist herself. So it was really nice to be around her, and I learned a lot. And she was actually the one who pushed me to open my Instagram account, because I wasn't sure if it was a good idea at first. But then I listened to her and I did it, and it helped me a lot. So it was a very good decision in the end.
And now you have a really big account. You have 100,000 followers on Instagram. So how did you achieve that? Did it take long to have this huge community on Instagram?
Yes, I think some accounts, they grow quite quickly, but for me, I am more on the slow side, if I can say. I'm not sure, but I think so. I think, well, there's not really a magic formula, but yeah. I think that trying to post regularly, especially when starting an account, it helped me to have more people seeing my work. And then I think that Instagram works in this way where the more attention you get, and maybe then the more I mean, it's exponential, I don't know.
Yeah.
So it really helped. I tried to look at what I was enjoying on other artists' accounts, and I realized that I was really enjoying when artists and illustrators were connecting with their audiences. So, I don't know, having conversations with them, explaining their process, or just talking about their lives as an illustrator or as an artist, and sharing their doubts and everything. And so I thought that I wanted to try to do this as well on my account. And I think it was a very good thing, because now I feel like this is a space where we can share our thoughts with the people who follow my work, and it's a very nice place where we can have conversations about art and illustrations and a lot of things, and it helps you realize that you're not the only one who has doubts when you create something, or it's a very lovely place to share art and thoughts.
Yeah, it's really a nice place. Do you ever feel kindness on your account, on your Instagram account? Or sometimes do you have bad comments or nasty ones? Or
I think that Instagram is a nice place, at least for the art community, because I feel like if people follow you there, it's because they enjoy your content already and they enjoy what you do. So most of the time they are very friendly and very nice. And even sometimes when maybe they don't like something as much as the rest, they can say it, but in a kind and respectful way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it only happened to me once or twice to receive comments that were really mean, comments
yeah.
that didn't have any other goal than being mean.
Yeah.
So it was very few times, so I was very lucky. But in general, people there are very thoughtful and very kind to each other. So this is what I love about Instagram. I don't know if it's like that on other platforms, but I feel like at least on the art side, because I know Instagram is huge and there are a lot of different things there, but I mostly follow artists, so I know more of the art community there, and everyone is really respectful and really kind, so it's nice there.
Okay, great. And do you know Patreon?
Yes.
Do you support some artists there? And did you ever think about to open an account on Patreon?
I thought about it sometimes, but I'm not sure because I don't really feel confident enough, I think. Because I'm used now to working with clients and
mm-hmm.
having commissions and everything, but then Patreon is a little bit different because people pay for monthly content.
Yeah.
And I feel like the creators that I follow on Patreon that I enjoy the most are the ones who share a lot of their process and
mm-hmm.
like behind the scenes of what they create and maybe their daily lives and everything. And I always feel like my life is not really interesting enough to share it with the world. So I'm not sure. Sometimes I think I would like to do that because it's a way to also have more creative freedom in a way, I think, because you can have more time to create the things you want to create rather than following a commission for a client. And you can develop different things than what you would do with clients. And I don't know, it's I think it's a very different way to work because it's more like yes, building a community and exchanging with other. So there's this part that I really like and that I think about very often, but then I'm not sure that I would bring anything interesting to people that will like something worth paying. So
yeah, I understand.
I'm not sure, maybe one day I can find the right way to use it, because I think each creator uses it in its own way. So I don't know, maybe in the future I would really like to. So I'm hoping maybe one day.
We were saying before in the other part of the conversation in French that you're only 25, so there is a long path in front of you, so you have plenty of years of working and in illustration and painting to do again. So maybe later you can achieve this or go to this this kind of project maybe later.
Yes, hopefully. Yeah,
plenty of time.
Let's see what the future brings.
Yeah, and in this strange time in this year 2023, we actually don't really know what the future will bring us.
Yes, it's true. The future is a bit blur right now, but but it means that there's a sentence that I found in a magazine. I think it was 1 or 2 years ago in a Flow magazine, and it was saying I don't remember the author of it. I think it was maybe from a book, but the sentence was saying I have it in French, so I will try to translate it, but I'm not sure it will be very well translated. It was like when nothing is certain, everything is possible, or something like that. And I thought it was a very beautiful and comforting sentence to have in mind, when, because it's true that uncertainty can be very scary, but if we look at it from another angle, it can also mean that everything can happen. So indeed, it can mean bad things, like we tend to think about, but it can also mean a lot of good things.
Yeah, and so, you know, new opportunities. Yeah. And did you ever think of selling your art, maybe with art prints that you could print at home and sell and send worldwide?
Actually, I was dreaming of doing that for a very long time. And last year, in June 2019, I finally opened a small shop on Etsy, Etsy shop. And but it wasn't open for long because I planned on opening it earlier in 2019, but I had a lot of administrative issues with a lot of boring things to sort before I could do that. And so I ended up opening it at the beginning of summer, and then I had to close it at the end of summer because I was moving to Italy. And I had in mind to that once I would be settled in Florence, I could maybe reopen it. But if I'm being honest, I'm a bit scared to ship things from here, mainly because I really speak very poor Italian. My Italian is horrible, so I'm not sure I could do well in a post office. I mean, if it's just for a letter, a personal letter, I think it's okay. But to send a lot of packages in a professional way that people are really expecting because it's something they bought, I'm not sure it's very safe to do it in a language I don't know well. And so We shouldn't stay here for a long time. I think we will. I might go back to France in a year or so. So I'm not sure that it's a good idea to order a lot of envelopes and box and prints and stuff here when we will have to move everything again. So in my head, I am planning on reopening it. I really have my fingers crossed for that. I hope I can reopen it maybe next summer or something like that. Yes. So because it was really, it was a very nice and beautiful feeling when packing the orders to think, wow, so some people, they liked my work enough to buy this. And it was really nice and rewarding. And also it felt a little bit like writing to a friend, because one thing I really liked to do was to write a very small postcard for everyone in the order, in the orders. And it was really nice to think about something to write for everyone. And I don't know, it was really, really great. So I'm hoping I can do it again soon.
That's yeah, actually I understand the Italian part. That would be tricky. Okay, and do you work with editors that maybe would print stuff for you? I mean, maybe postcards or notebooks or things like that, and kind of editor that would use your illustration on some stuff.
Yes, I worked on some greeting cards for two different companies in the USA. One was Papyrus. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it well, but Papyrus. And the second one was Compendium. And I made around 3 or 4 cards for each company. So there's a way to buy these cards. But I think it's only in the USA. I'm not sure they have shops in the rest of the world. And otherwise, I had a collaboration with a website called Toy Gallery, Toy Art Gallery. But it was a long time ago. I think it was 3 years ago. And they had some of my earlier works, but I don't think they sold very well, because recently they said that they were stopping the production of these artworks because they were not selling enough. So this doesn't exist anymore. But I have these greeting cards and... well, other than that, I have books, but yes, I don't really have publishers for art prints, for example. So
yeah,
it's mostly other kind of products. But
but maybe one publisher will listen to this podcast.
Maybe.
And you'll have some projects in this in this area.
It would be
I
very
hope.
Nice.
Where do you get your inspiration?
I think that it's nature. I really love being surrounded by nature. And I think that the moments when I feel more peaceful, it's when I have a walk, for example, in the forest or something like that. Because I come from... a region in France, which is so it's the east of France. It's very close to Switzerland, and it's the countryside. It's very quiet and rural, and my village is very tiny. It's really surrounded by trees and fields and cows. So. I don't know, I'm used to this atmosphere. I used to hate it when I was a teenager. I really wanted to leave and
so
go and go live in a big city very far away from there. But then I lived in different cities, and it made me appreciate more the peace of the countryside. And now I think that even though I really love being in cities, I think that the most inspiring places for me are the countryside. I think so.
And do you ever paint outside?
Not really. I would like to do that, but I'm always scared of, I don't know, a very stupid detail, but I think it's the thing that really stops me is, what am I going to do with the dirty water after I'm done painting with watercolor? I'm not sure. I don't want to throw it on the ground because it's dirty, but I don't know. It's a bit silly, but... but sometimes I use pencils or markers in a sketchbook, which is much easier outside than watercolor. So I draw sometimes outside, not very often, but sometimes, but I never painted outside.
Okay. And what kind of projects do you have for the next months?
So I'm working right now on a project for product that will be for children. I really cannot give much more details right now, but this is what will keep me busy for the next couple of months. And I forgot to mention that in the French part, but I will also have two of my books will come out by the end of the year. I mean, I already worked on them, they're already finished, but they will be published at the end of this year. There's a picture book that I created myself, and the second picture book, I only made the illustrations. The text was already written by someone else. So one should be out, I think, in October, and the second one in November or something like that. So it's not really work per se, but it's still something exciting that will be happening. So
yeah. I imagine it's a huge honor or a huge pleasure to have your name on a book.
Yes, it's both a really happy and really scary feeling because it's both incredible to see that and to think that other people will read it. But then when I stop for a minute and I think about this, that other people will see the book, I'm both really happy, I can't believe it, but I'm also super scared because what if they don't like it? I don't know. So yes, it's both really exciting and really and scary at the same time.
I can imagine. And do you consider yourself as an artist or as an entrepreneur or... a freelance illustrator, and that's it.
I think when people ask me what do I do for a living, I tend to say that I'm an illustrator because I think that it's my own thing. But when I think about an artist, I still have this cliche that an artist is someone, I don't know, creating huge pieces of art that have very deep meaning, and I don't know, it's very stupid. Yeah. And I really know that the reality is not like this. But I don't know, I feel that I'm more an illustrator than an artist because my drawings are mostly decorative. I don't really carry a meaning with them, and especially because they are also made to be printed most of the time on other objects or books or magazines, and they're not really, I don't really make a lot of finished pieces that will be seen. The originals will not often be seen by people in an exhibition, for example, or something like that. It's more for printing. And so I know that it's a little bit of a silly thought, but I feel more comfortable to say that I'm an illustrator. So.
Okay. And do you have problems with the money part? In France, we are very how can I say? We are not very comfortable with money. do you have this feeling about money that you are afraid of asking for this amount, for example? We are not speaking of figures, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
So, do you sometimes have bad feelings about money?
So At the beginning, it was really, I mean, it's still, I think it's the hardest part of the job for me to always find a fair price, which is not something too huge for the client, but at the same time, something that is enough for me to live and pay the bills. I think that with the pass of the time, well, I'm not sure in the end. I was going to say that it becomes a little bit easier, but maybe it's a lie because I still feel a little bit scared when I have to say a price to someone. But the thing that really helped me, it's the day when I read somewhere on the internet that when we sell ourselves low, I don't know if that's the right way to say it in English, but when we say a price that would be that might be too low, we're not only doing how to say that, doing something bad for ourselves, but also for the entirety of the other designers and illustrators, because then the clients might get used to these low prices, and then when someone else asks something more fair, they won't understand because they're used to paying less money. So that really helps me to keep this in mind when I have to discuss a price with someone. But still, yes, it's really the most difficult part for me of the job.
And did you ever consider to hire an agent? Someone, a third party that will easy this part?
I think about it sometimes, and I had some agents who wrote to me in the past, but for some reason it never became a real collaboration. Sometimes they never answered back to my first emails. I mean, sometimes it's a bit strange because they sent me the email first and then I answered and then I never heard again from them. So I'm not sure what I did wrong. But so I think I would like to do that. But I also heard that it's not, at least in France, I don't know about the other countries, but in France, it's not very usual that the illustrators or the artists ask directly to the agent, and most of the time it's the other way around. It's the agent who will write to them because they saw their work and then they like it and they think they can represent them well. So I don't know. I would like to take my gather my courage, I don't know how to say, and write an email to one of them or several of them, but I'm not sure if I should do that. I don't know. So maybe someday I will do it in a moment of craziness. Who knows?
Okay. What are you most proud of?
So I think that if I have to say something, is the fact that I managed to become an illustrator, because when I was younger, when I was a teenager, it seemed really impossible for me. And I was always thinking about the illustrators that I loved and thinking how their lives must be so nice and that I would really love to do that. In fact, it's funny because a few years ago, I found an old journal where I used to write things, and on a page it was written, "I wish I could be an illustrator because I could draw all day," or I don't know, something like that. And it was a very nice feeling to find this again, to think, oh, well, now I'm an illustrator, so I don't know.
You achieve something.
Yes. It's very nice to look back and think that I did it. So I would say that this feeling is what makes me the most happy and proud. So yes.
Okay, that's great. It's something that really is interesting and encouraging for people, maybe in your community on Instagram. To think that you could achieve anything by just believing in the fact that it could happen.
Yes, it's true. Actually, I receive questions sometimes about people who wonder if you have to go to art school in order to become an illustrator, and I don't think so. And I thought when I was 15 or 16, I thought that it was really mandatory to go to art school in order to become an illustrator. But then later, when I started talking with other illustrators on Instagram, for example, I realized that a big part of them, a big percentage of illustrators, they never went to art school either. And even though the ones who went to art schools, they say it was great and they did learn a lot of things, but most of the things that are useful to them now, they learned by themselves, drawing by themselves, and even all the admin side also of the work. Most of the time, at least in French art schools, it's not really taught there, so you have to learn everything after that by yourself. So, so I don't think it's mandatory, but
yes, that's a good point. I think it could reassure some people. So
I hope so.
Okay. So thank you very much, Cécile, for taking part of this podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
We did it. We spoke in English for, yes, I don't know, maybe half an hour.
Yes.
No, your English is very good. Mine is kind of really not that good.
No, it's okay, it's good.
So, of course, we'll join you, if it's not the case already, on Instagram. And you'll have also your own website. So yes, it's called cuckoo-illustration.com. I hope you all enjoyed listen to us. So yes, thank you for being with me, Cécile. It was a really nice time with you. I'm really happy you spent this little moment with me.
Yes,
so thank you again.
Really nice. Really nice. So thank you very much.
And see you on Instagram.
Yes.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey, it's me again. I hope you enjoyed this moment with Cécile and myself. Please listen to the other episodes if you can understand French. You'll learn from successful French entrepreneurs. It's really inspiring. If you enjoy this, you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on YouTube. You can also join me on Instagram on my account Podcast Fame. I might do this again, a recording episode in English, so hang around if you liked it. Bye!